This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. If I knew Forest was going to be that uncomfortable, I'd start advocating for the trees to be chopped down earlier. City edge a narrow one. It's Monday, the 29th of April. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Ollie McCool.
I'm Joe Ritchie.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
What's here for Gundogan? It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, panel. And a big welcome back, Mr. Joe Ritchie. Look at you, typical glory hunter, only coming out after the wins.
I am an American City fan after all, right? So
a nice little bit of irony in there as well. Americans, please don't switch off. That is not the view of the City Report podcast. No, but it's great to have you. You've obviously been a busy man, which is understandable. But saying that, if you're going to pick a game to come on and speak about and gloat about, it certainly wasn't that one in Nottingham.
No, there's plenty of talking points. I just don't think it will involve a lot of gloating, like you said. But no, it's good to be back. It's been a few weeks, and really looking forward to, well, my heart rate rising, but hopefully some good games in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, sets it up nicely, doesn't it, Ollie? Let's get into it then, I guess. No sort of beating around the bush or the forest. Tricky Trees, that's their nickname. Still think it's one of the worst in the Premier League, but hey, we'll get over it. Maybe they'll stick a tweet out about that as well. Maybe I'll be next on their on Nottingham Forest's hit list, hopefully. But anyway, City 2-0 winners away at Nottingham Forest, and a scoreline which, I mean, where do we begin? For possibly the first time this season, City win, and it's a scoreline that doesn't reflect the sort of performance in a negative way.
It was just one of those kind of off-the-shelf results, really, wasn't it? It was uncomfortable, but you kind of know that going into a ground like Forest, you know it's not going to be the easiest of places to go, no matter their form, their fans. You know, even though it was quite subdued in the first half, as you put in our chat, Amos, to steal your line, it was a very subdued atmosphere today. But yeah, the problems came from City themselves, just not being completely at it defensively. But you kind of noticed that from the lineup. You know, when you're seeing the likes of Doku starting, you know, when you're leaving Rodri pretty much to deal with all the transitions on his own, the constant exasperation from myself at Kyle Walker's general existence on a football pitch at the moment, because
you know he's 3 minutes.
I can humble myself. The start of the season, the first few months, he was really good, and then it's just like when he wants to fall off, he falls off. And I just don't get it, but I'm sure we'll get into
that. I think that's harsh. But in terms of the result, I mean, it was an attritional performance, wasn't it?
Oh, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
Yeah,
it's just one of those games where you see it on the you see it on the schedule and you go, that's not going to be a very nice game to play.
It felt like one of those games that, like, stressful in the moment, stressful. You know, we're obviously reviewing shortly after the match. But should City go all the way this season, this is one of the games we're going to look back on and be like, that was, you know, that could have been anything, that game. That could have lost City the league. It could have kept things nervy, but they got it across the line. And, yeah, in the moment, I don't like watching it at all. We're still just, you know, an hour post-match, and I'm still not thrilled about it. But, again, this stage of the season, it's what did Erling Haaland say? 3 points, shower, and run it
on
back.
So,
yeah, on to the next.
Which, in typical Erling Haaland sort of coy interviewee style, poor Emma Saunders, I think it was, for Sky Sports, really struggled to get anything out of him. But hey, that's what you get with Erling Braut Haaland. But Joe, just sticking with you for a second. I mean, let's tackle the first half, because I think that's probably where the crux of the sort of the opinions about City not playing necessarily well stem from. Second half was adequate, if not, you know, decent, if not just about okay. But the first half, I felt like I sent a tweet out and I made a little mistake saying that City were lucky to be level at the break, and obviously meant City lucky to be ahead. But City would have been lucky to have been level at the break, wouldn't they? I mean, some of those chances Forest had were just incredible.
It was ironic how poor Chris Wood was compared to him stealing a point last season. I mean, he was... Yeah. Like match fixing levels poor. It was bizarre how bad.
Okay, so we've already had Kyle Walker called out, and we've had a professional footballer accused of match fixing. I will say, not for the first time this season, not for the first time this week. These are not the opinions of the City Report podcast. These
Forest
are not employees.
Going to love that.
I'm just a rotating contributor. I'm not a real member of this podcast.
You're not on the payroll. Anyway, continue.
No, it was again at halftime it could have been, you know, it's funny, it was different in the it's, you know, the Spurs Arsenal game prior in the morning, right? We were kind of saying the same thing, like Arsenal probably didn't deserve to be ahead, let alone win. And then that first half, City were I mean, obviously a good goal, but that was one of the more least cohesive attacking 45 minutes I've seen under Pep, just full stop. And I think some credit needs to go to Forest in terms of,
sure,
you know, they were pressing, they were defensively sound. I thought that they had a good first 45 on the defensive side. Now on the attacking side, it felt like Alanga and Hudson-Odoi were getting past their first man and then just kind of like nothing, you know, so they were getting in positions and it fell flat. So City were really lucky. I wouldn't have surprised me if they were losing at halftime, let alone drawing, like you said, Amos. So I think, again, City needed to have a bit of a wake-up call, and I can only imagine what that halftime speech was like from Pep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine there will be some form of documentary, hopefully, if City go on and win the title this season. And I imagine that sort of that halftime team talk could be in sort of Southampton away levels from the Treble documentary on Netflix. And yeah, Nottingham Forest at the halftime break had an XG of 1.27. City had an XG of 0.29. So a whole goal better off in terms of XG for Forest. Obviously, it was City, Ollie, who managed to get the goal. And having hate-watched 90 minutes of Arsenal and Tottenham terrorism at the sort of the earlier game on Sunday afternoon, it was nice to see City do what I dubbed and Arsenal, and go in at the break, having scored from a set piece, despite not necessarily playing well.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare to have to hate watch your own team, isn't it? But it feels like we had to do it a little bit more than we'd like this season. But what can I say about Josh Guardiola? He is just a magnificent footballer. Just an absolutely magnificent footballer. Probably our best attacking threat in that first half, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say about a left back. Well, a centre back playing left back, playing out wide out wide as a winger almost at times. He's just a brilliant footballer who's found his goal scoring form. You know, what was it? Zero in his first 32 City games, and he's got three in his last five. I really enjoy a goal from someone like him, because he's come in for a lot of criticism this season. You know, people not understanding that this is a relatively new role for him, understanding the kind of nuances of a Pep Guardiola side. But he's just blossomed these last couple of months into something really special. And I've said it all along. I said it right last summer that he'd be a perfect signing for us. And I think we're starting to see that come through and seeing it regularly, which is great. But aside from the goal, which, as you say, is in itself was kind of a summary of the win in it all, you know, not entirely, not the cleanest, but a win, a goal and a win nonetheless. I think the most interesting thing about it is the ongoing saga of Kyle Walker and Josco Gladiol grabbing each other's noses in a goal celebration. Has that happened prior to today? Yeah. Yeah. There was a picture of, I can't remember what game it was, when we were last wearing the Lightning kit. So it must've been at Brighton, but there's a picture of Kyle Walker just grabbing Gladiol's nose. And then today when Gladiol scored, Walker grabbed his, and then the second goal, Gladiol grabbed his back again. So I don't know what's going on there, but
it's not like a gentle grab, it's full on ripping out each other's noses.
For want of a better word, they're tugging each other, really, aren't they?
For God's sake.
That's not, like I said, for one, look, that
is this the, where I get is... to say this is not the thoughts of the City Report podcast.
these are the thoughts of Amos Murphy,
because you are on the payroll.
Look, what Kyle Walker gets up to is none of my business. Anyway, look, Josko Gvardiol, to bring it back full circle, everything's just going to sound like an innuendo now, isn't it? Unfortunately, that's what you're going to have to deal with, listeners. But to bring it back to that, Joe, look, he has come under stick, and I think there was possibly some criticisms to be thrown at him in this game, just because at times sloppy in possession, trying to force a pass. But we know by now that's kind of his game. He is, like, as Ollie says, an attacker playing out of defence. And of all the players who could be vindicated in this running and have been vindicated so far, it's nice to see him get that, because he has been, for me, he's had a wonderful season, even though the heavy price tag and maybe some of the outside noise hasn't necessarily suggested that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I think City's defense as a whole has started to really kind of find form the last few weeks. And it feels like, you know, most of these players, obviously Akanji is in his second season, but a lot of these players have been around the club long enough that they've kind of found their own niche within the back line. I feel like Vardiol's still very much finding his role in the side, both literally where he's lining up, but also the type of player that he's played as and being asked to play as. I think he's probably the most, well, I'd confidently say he's the most talented defender that City have, all round ability. But again, like, where is he best deployed? How is he best deployed? You know, you play him on opposite flanks of Walker, who sometimes is a winger, sometimes isn't. Like, I think people need to cut Josko some slack in that he's been asked to do a lot of different things, seemingly week in and week out, in a back line that is already asked to do a lot. So I think he's come on leaps and bounds. And, you know, I'd be confident in saying he'll probably be, you know, the first choice defender next season, just in terms of his all round ability and obviously upside.
Is he not already? Because, Nathan Ake, I thought, was probably City's man of the match, but that was obviously from a central position. Now, John Stones, questions, I guess, start to be asked, because that was another game he wasn't starting. Fitness has been sort of mooted, but he's not played a great deal of football the last sort of couple of weeks. Would you say, going into City's next four games, that Gvardiol, say, for example, you play in two centre-backs, one of them doesn't include Nathan Ake, who goes in that left-back spot for you?
Well, I guess that's the thing, right? And it's not a knock on him, but, like, what's the alternative, right? I mean, he's playing in a position where there's not a lot of depth. Obviously, Ake can play there, but I think at his very best, he's a left-sided center back. So it's kind of like, well, obviously not Gomez isn't going to take his spot. But I guess more of what I meant was, if I had said 3 months ago, hey, I think, you know, Josko's going to be first name on the defensive team sheet, people would probably look at me pretty funny. But now I say it and it doesn't sound ludicrous. So I just think that'll carry into next season and, I mean, he's future captain material. He's, you know, again, the sky's the limit for a player like that. It's crazy to think that he's just 22.
He's got a good beard as well.
He's got a great beard. I'd say he's, I guess you could, the way I'd spin it is, if you said for City's next game, any of the next games, if it were Ake at left back and you threw, you know, Ruben Dias in where Ake was today, I wouldn't balk at it. But I don't think Vardiol's done anything to warrant not starting every game the rest of the season.
Yeah, totally. And I guess it's maybe be opponent dependent. I'm just trying to think. Maybe Spurs away, for example, you'd want that extra security of Nathan Ake on the left-hand side. But I think he's sort of, well, he started the Real Madrid games, didn't he? And that probably tells you they're the game so far.
And he wasn't even fully fit.
No,
so Pep clearly exactly. really wanted him there.
Yeah, yeah. But to sort of go back on that, maybe Nathan Ake had been carrying an injury before. He's going back a couple of weeks. Okay. I can't remember. Anyway, I'm sure we'll deal with that in good time. Just to wrap on the first half then, Ollie, and I've got news in the air as we're recording this, that Edison has left the City ground in a sling. He obviously took a knock in that first half, managed to play on for a little bit. I say knock, he got absolutely charged into, and it did look like it left something on him, but managed to play on a bit, obviously got in the dressing room, wasn't able to continue. Ortega came on, Ortega did what Ortega does, and he's just, you know, super calm, super comfortable, makes a couple of saves, pings a few passes, etc., etc. We don't need to go over that again, but Edison potentially now missing the final 3, possibly 4 weeks. Obviously, FA Cup probably wouldn't have played, but that could be Edison's season.
Yeah, but the kind of weird thing is any other season apart, well, any other season, when we had different backup goalkeepers, you'd be a bit, oh, this is, it's all going to go downhill from here. But I just trusted Ortega. I mean, it's sad for Edison. He is the superior keeper. He suits this side a bit better than Ortega, but there is no better backup keeper in, I don't even think in world football, you know, except maybe the Brazilian national team where Edison's the backup keeper. It's just one of those scenarios where you don't really lose out. You know, Pep's shown he's happy to play Ortega over Edison at times anyway. You know, there was talk of at the start of this season, Pep wanting to with Ortega as his number one, which would have been a huge call. It's, as I say, sad for Edison, but I really just don't mind because, and especially it might even be the thing that convinces Ortega to stay another season, which would be perfect.
Yeah, and Pep said in his presser that Ederson's injury doesn't look good, and I feel like when Pep's that blunt, he's typically not trying. Yeah, I mean, again, if it's a shoulder, especially as a keeper, and again, I don't want to be pessimistic, just trying to be realistic, I'd be shocked if his season's not over with, which is a shame because I think he's been great this year. I really do. But at the same time, you know, to echo what Ollie said, you probably can't ask for a better alternative in Ortega, and I have absolute confidence in him and the rest of the Premier League matches, and if, you know, need be the FA Cup final, which he probably would have started anyway. So it's really just a few games difference, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to do the business.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we've had this conversation a million times before, and I maintain that Edison is the superior goalkeeper. The difference is slim, but you would want your best players playing the final 4 games of the season when the title's on the line. So, you know, it is a blow should Edison be out. It's just not as big as a blow. Say you were bringing in, God, poor Zach Steffen's going to get another mention, and Muric, who, to be fair, has had, you know, had a little bit of a decent revival at Burnley.
We could probably get Big Willie to take time off at Leicester, huh?
After the first conversation earlier on, I'm not going to be even uttering those sort of words. So not today, Joe. Good try. Listeners, that'll do for part one. Stay exactly where you are. We'll be back in part two.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Start of a brand new week, and a week that doesn't have a game in the middle of it. So, you know, plenty to discuss. And, well, I mean, it was a game that left plenty of question marks. One of them, which was hopefully answered, Joe, Erling Braut Haaland. He came off the bench. He obviously has been out injured with a little bit of a niggle. He came back and, well, speak about making an impact. Should I read the message you sent shortly before? Should the listeners want to know about that?
I thought we agreed offline that, like, the disclosal fee. No, okay.
We were all thinking it. Yeah. Most of us probably were.
I was surprised, to sum it up quickly, I was surprised that given City's lack of possession and keeping the ball close, that the move from Pep was to bring on, you know, our least tidy player. That's basically it in a nutshell. But I do think that at the same time, that game called out for a player like Haaland in terms of it was starting to get a little bit open. Obviously, Forest were chasing a goal. I didn't know what to expect. He's obviously in and out with injury. His form hasn't been spectacular in 2024, to put it lightly. But I was wholeheartedly impressed, even goal aside. I thought his buildup, little interplay in midfield was great. He almost created another chance for himself, similar to the first goal. And I think there was one chance too. I want to say it was Bernardo or someone basically had a chance to play him through and just completely ignored it. So I think the goal is exactly what last season's Erling Haaland puts away, like every single time. Well, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah. I said it felt like, do you remember the Bayern Munich away game when he sat Upamecano
down? Yeah.
And he made him look a little bit like a fool. And well, that's what he did.
Yeah. I think he, who was it? Murillo was already injured in that for that second goal. I think that was the icing on the cake for his injuries. Mm. Pretty much put him on the bench after that. But no, it's, you're going to need Haaland, right, at his best for these next five games remaining in the season. So, very positive signs, and I hope that with another week of, you know, recovery, training sessions and all that he's able to start next weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Saying that, though, I totally agree. I think he should start next weekend. But Ollie, do you think that this could be maybe a look to the future as how Pep Guardiola can use Erling Haaland? Because I go back to, I think it was Wolves away. Haaland started that game. City were very sort of a little bit similar to this, quite sloppy, didn't really create much. And Haaland was, I hate the criticism of Haaland where you say City are playing with 10 players, he's not involved. But it was basically that. He got marked out of the game. Alvarez came on, did a little bit of, I think he scored a free kick that day and, you know, it was a little bit lively. But I've at times this season felt like Erling Haaland has maybe been a tad overused when he hasn't needed to play start necessarily every single game. It felt like that was kind of a perfect way to use him. Not every week, of course, because you're going to want him scoring those 30 goals. That's how he does it from the start. But just having that player who can come on with a point to prove and snatch a goal pretty much out of nothing. It felt like City were starting to slow down a bit in attack, and perfect example.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the kind of dilemma Pep faces against these sort of looks. I think he'd love a situation where he can start with Alvarez or even go back to a false nine at times and then bring Haaland on when the game opens up a little bit more. But, you know, when you've got a player on a contract like Haaland's, when you've got, you know, an absolute megastar, you want to be starting everything. And when we know what he's capable of as well, you know, what was it, 52 goals last season, he's on nearing 40 for this season, and we're all saying, oh, it's not been his best, but he's been okay. His finishing's been a bit down compared, but you know, he's still got plenty in the tank. It's just one of those where, you know, I you have felt a bit heads, like you're scratching your head at times with Haaland, especially these last couple of months. It's just looked like it's been really difficult for him, even if he's been occupying the centre backs, creating the space for other people. Like we saw in both the Real Madrid games, if anything, I think that was kind of a really good example of physical, but not necessarily being involved in the attack so much. But yeah, it's not unlike what we've been saying about Doku in recent weeks as well. You know, the perfect way to use him is bringing him on later in the game when it opens up and you need someone to go, you know, be a bit more lateral and go at tired legs. That's what players like Haaland and Doku are good for. I don't want to say it's a shame that Erling Haaland is this megastar that demands starting every week, because it is absolutely not a shame. But it's almost, you wish you could have that little bit more flexibility without, you know, an agent getting on the phone saying, why isn't my player starting 102 years? Because that's the sort of noise that will also leave him on the bench for three games. But, you know, you got to remember Julian Alvarez is a very, very, very good player. You know, World Cup winner, Argentina's number nine. he knows what he's doing in those positions, and he plays a very good game. A little bit more flexible positionally than Erling Haaland and the Sting Haaland, but ultimately it's a very good problem to have. It's an incredible problem to have, especially when you look at some of the other teams in the Premier League, especially at the top of the Premier League, who struggled at number nine this season. You know, you think of Arsenal, if they had a proper number nine this season, they could have absolutely walked it. You know, you look at Darwin Nunes at Liverpool and some of the chances he misses. You know, there's now question marks over his future at Liverpool two seasons in, when at the start he came in at the same time as Haaland, and everyone was getting very, very excited about Darwin Nunes versus Erling Haaland, and the Vikings absolutely shut that one up pretty quickly.
Joe, I mean, look, it's why he's there, isn't it? To play the games, to score the goals. City have to find a way to get around that. You would. I mean, you've been, maybe not critical is the right word, but I know you've sort of wanted a little bit more at times, individually, as opposed to sort of being spoon-fed chances and putting them away. I guess, though, It will be tested not only in these next four games, but we assume anyway that he's going to stay next season, to see if he can take that part of his game to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say I've been critical of him. I still maintain I don't think he was the ideal Pep signing for this squad. Doesn't mean it was a bad signing, clearly. But if you could pick a prototypical Pep striker, that's probably very low on the list is Erling Haaland, in terms of true play style. Now, with that said, I think it's taken probably more time than I expected for, and this is going to sound ridiculous after the numbers he put up last season, but for City to get used to Haaland and vice versa. Like, it still feels like there's times.
We were riding a wave last year, weren't they? Yeah. And everyone was, and that's fair enough. Every shot he had went in.
Right. And I think a lot of them was right place, right time, right? Just that doesn't happen every game. You can't rely on it. But I think this season, you're kind of seeing things even out there. But at the same time, again, it's little things like today of just, I'm not saying he needs to be the Harry Kane dropping in a, you know, deep into midfield, but just to get a little bit more involved. So to draw defenders out, to have space to run into behind, because it's not going to be there every game. I mean, for 60 minutes today, had he started, he probably would have been completely out of the game. So, and it kind of touches upon Ollie's point earlier of he's not going to be a bench player. He's not going to be an impact sub, but it makes a lot of sense when you play, you know, 90% of your games against a back nine and you're basically saying, all right, Erling, go find some space. It's not there. It's not going to be there. Teams just aren't going to set up that way. So City
and
need to
it
find
helps,
some
doesn't it, having Alvarez who can then drop into the midfield. I mean, it's frustrating when Kevin De Bruyne is whipping crosses in and the flashing across the face of the goal and you're thinking, oh my God, if only Erling Haaland was there. But there is that sort of the argument to be made that City can wear down a defence. They can play the intricate passive. If they score a goal, fantastic. If not, maybe 2, 3, 4 times a season, on comes Erling Haaland.
And I also think, you know, bringing it back to today's game, there also needs to be a conversation about the fact that there was no Phil Foden, who's been City's second best goal scorer this season, right? Erling, or maybe they're tied now. I don't know. It's close. But either way, I mean, that's a big omission. He allows you to play in a different way, both in the pockets, on the wings, and kind of as a false nine at times. So I think his absence was totally felt in today's game. And, you know, fingers crossed, it truly is just an illness that passes and he'll be fine for the Wolves game. Same for Diaz. But that was a big blow that I don't think got enough coverage.
True. And possibly if City hadn't won, we'd have been sat here bemoaning whatever sort of illness is being spread around young English talents from the greater Manchester region. Obviously, Cole Palmer as well sat out a game of illness recently. It was a big win. It was a needed win. We'll continue the reaction, of course, throughout the week and delve into a few more of those sort of topics that deserve discussing. Maybe when Ollie's off the show, we'll have a discussion about Kyle Walker's future. Because it's an open shut case in that regard. But Ollie, we'll do a quick bit of title race challenge at top, because it is sort of as you were, I guess, and maybe didn't feel like that at times today, but suddenly it's the same points difference. City still have that game in hand. There's just one game each left to play.
Four wins to go. It's City, it's the end of the season. We're in a title race. You know, it's slightly annoying that game in hand is an absolutely massive one against Spurs away. You know, it would have been nicer to, you know, maybe have had it this, and, you know, not be the last game before the last day of the season. But at the same time, I just trust in this team to do it. They know what they're doing. Even Josco Guardiola in his post-match interview saying, you know, this is four finals in the Premier League. You know, let's go and do it. He's a player who's not been here for the three in a row. He wants to win his first Premier League title. He's got that little bit of extra hunger that you get when it is your first. And you look at some of the older guys, you know, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, yet again today, just putting in a solid performance. You know, I think, what was it, most assists in all competitions of any player in the Premier League. And he's played, what, 20 games this season, 21. It's just the sort of ridiculousness that you tend to expect from these players. They just know how to go again. And you think, you know, we did it all Foden today. He's hopefully going to come back in for these last handful of games, you know, give us another spark. It's just, it's weird because, you know, a week ago I was on this podcast saying City don't deserve it, but now I'm like, no, I actually really do want it. And if they go and do it now, they're fighting for it. You can see they've still got it in them to go and really fight for it. And you just got to hope they keep showing that today, going forward from today.
Yeah, I think too, I mean, the difference between winning titles and not winning titles is your best players showing up. So, you know, if you're Liverpool, who are now well and truly out of the race, you look at Mo Salah, who's been...
Are we doing that, Claxton, do you reckon? Is it done? I'm not saying I don't disagree, but I'm just saying they're toast.
It seems like the wheels are falling off across the board with, you know, the clips of Salah and Klopp kind of going after. I mean, Salah's completely been a ghost for the last month or to 6 weeks, and... you know, I think then you look at the other side, right? There's always the Kev versus Salah comparisons for best player in the league. Well, Kev's been on another level since he's come back. I saw a tweet from StatMuse saying, and this is just to shit on United because it's America's favorite pastime. Kevin De Bruyne in 2024 has 8 Premier League assists, which is one more than Bruno Fernandes has all season. So he's showing up like he always does, despite some people saying he's not a big game player. And I think, you know, talking Premier League title race as a whole, Arsenal could 100% win it, but I would be shocked if City didn't at this point, just based on everything we know about what history says in the last 5-6 years, the club that they are, the way that, you know, they respond in these run-ins, and Arsenal aren't far off. I mean, they're getting there, but I still think there's a bit of, there's a chance for drop points for Arsenal, and I'm not going to say against two, but there's one game in particular I see them dropping points, so...
And what a race it promises to be. Listeners, we'll be there across the board throughout it, 5 days a week, of course, as per usual. So if you're not already, make sure you are signed up, following, subscribing on social media as well, City Report Pod. So make sure you've got us over there as well. But guys, that'll do for today's episode. A lovely, if not nervy, start to the week. Hopefully we can bring those heart rates down. And as we continue to analyse this result, previewing as well, obviously, later on in the week, Wolves at home, which is going to be another big game. They keep coming. It is that time of the season. So, listeners, thank you. Guys, thank you. And until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later.
Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end-of-season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.